Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Thank you, Father. It's great to be able to meet with Jesus, isn't it? If you want to just turn to Acts chapter 10 and get yourself ready for the word we're going to get into this morning. Next weekend, obviously, as you know, is the women's conference on Friday and Saturday, and we'll give you a bit more information about that later. But next Sunday, we're going to have a celebration and a real thanksgiving for Pastor Collins' 50th year of ordained ministry. So we want to celebrate and thank God for him, but really thank God for what God has done during those five decades. There aren't many people that have been in ministry for 50 years or more, let alone still in ministry for 50 years or more, and still going strong, and have still got many years ahead of them in ministry. And Pastor Colin obviously is one of those few that are still just standing, moving, going, breaking through with God. And so we want to really honour him next Sunday and really thank the Lord for what God has done in these past decades. So that's going to be a great time next week on Sunday. So just to let you know, that's what we're going to be doing. And Pastor Colin is going to be speaking and bringing a word that Sunday. So I don't know, you know, there's kind of legacy in men of God, women of God, that have just pursued the things of God for so many years. And legacy isn't just what happens after somebody is not on this earth anymore. Legacy can be what is happening right now on the earth and things that have happened through somebody's life as a result of their life with God. So, and I know many of us in the room would say we're part of that legacy, part of the impact of his life. So we're going to be doing that next week. And really celebrating together. Jan and I were in Italy last weekend with all the guys over there, Pastor Giorgio and the churches in Italy. They are thriving, flourishing in what God is doing. There's seven or eight congregations around the country, or seven or eight churches. They've all got different names, but they're one church in many locations, and they very much talk about their church. We're one together right across Italy. So on the Friday, we were in the church in Bologna. On Saturday, we were with the church in Modena. But during the day, there were all the leaders from around the country that came for the day. And we had some time with all the leaders during the day and then the church in the evening. One leadership couple, they drove from the south coast of Italy. They drove 1,000 kilometres just to be there for the day on Saturday. That's 10 to 11 hours driving, just because they're like, this is our church. Pastor Giorgio is our pastor. And when we come together, they do that once a month. All the leaders come from all over the country for a day together, to pray together, be together, hear the word together. And because they're like, we're one church across Italy, and we want to see God. They're using this phrase a lot, turning the tide of a godless society. So that's they've taken on that phrase from us, and that's what they're really going for. That's what we want to see in Italy. And very enthusiastic, passionate about Jesus, and it's great to be with them. And they pray for us every week. Every week, you know, all over the country, you know, in those churches, they pray for us every week, every week, every week. They met, we pray for you, we pray for you, we pray for you. And they say, we pray for you because we know our life's from God, but also our life is connected with our relationship with you and being part of Kingdom Faith. And so we pray for you so that you move with God, so that you break through, so that you advance. Because if you advance, then we advance. If you break through, we break through. If new things are happening with you, new things happen with us. And they've got it. They understand the spiritual reality, what it means to be part of something apostolic, what it means to be in relationship. And so we had a great time with them, and they're really moving in God. Loads of them are coming to Faith Camp, and so it's going to be great to be with them and then with us. What we want to do this morning is just continue to flow on a little bit with being a people of the Spirit. So if you want to turn to Acts chapter 10, just want to share a few things. I want to help illustrate what we're going to look at this morning. But in the context of what God is saying to us about the direction we're moving in, and some of the things he's been saying that we are stepping into in a new way in this season. God is spirit. It talks about that in John chapter 4 when Jesus meets the woman at the well. And he describes God as God is spirit. Therefore, his true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. Therefore, everything he does is by his spirit. God is not natural. God is supernatural. There is nothing natural about God. In the way that we might have a natural body, God is supernatural. His life is supernatural. His word is supernatural. His nature is supernatural. His character is supernatural. Who he is and everything he does is supernatural. Amen. And therefore, what he authors in our lives and what he does in us and through us therefore is supernatural. So if God is spirit, therefore everybody that he comes to live in becomes a person of his spirit. Therefore, every person he comes to live in comes alive in the spirit and becomes a person of the spirit. And so we've been looking at over the last few months being a people of the spirit and what that looks like in different ways. And this morning, in relation to how we're moving forward, I really believe God wants us to look at this morning. What does it mean to be a people of the spirit in prayer, in relation to being an arrow and being the point and the tip of an arrow, the arrow head and the shaft and everything of an arrow? What does that mean for us? What does that look like for us as a church, as a people? Last week, Sally was speaking, and I know many people responded. It was a great word, and many people received and met with God. And God wants us to be a healthy people. And we need to be healthy spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, to also be an effective people. And so God's concerned about the health of who we are. Anything healthy grows. And if we're healthy, then we're going to release life from who we are. And I know many of you met with God in different ways last week. And so God is wanting us to be healthy so that the many people that we're reaching and people that are getting saved also become healthy. Not just in the natural ways, mentally, emotionally, physically, but also spiritually. And so in Acts chapter 10, there's a story here we're going to look at where God challenges some of Peter's mindset and changes some of his thinking so that he begins to move with God in a way that is in agreement with God, in alignment with God for the season that God was taking, not just Peter, but the church into. So we want to look at some of this and use some of this and one or two other scriptures that we're going to look at. So let's have a look at this and then we'll get into a bit more of the pointy end, if you like, of what we're going to talk about. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to go on the roof of your house to pray without it being wet, cold, cloudy, miserable? He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles on the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." How many of you have ever had God say something to you and you've responded a bit like that? No, we're too holy, aren't we? Sorry, I forgot about that. We've all been, "Oh, yes, Lord, hallelujah." You know, let's carry on. "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." So God's speaking something to him that is outside of his paradigm of what he's known. God is speaking to him to shift a way of thinking that he's got locked into. And God's saying, no, I need to just change that mentality, change that thing. I want you to begin to have a different understanding of how I see things and what I want to do. The voice spoke to him a second time. This is verse 15. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheep was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I am the one you are looking for. Why have you come? And the men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. The holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Now we read on, and Peter goes with those guys, goes to the house of Cornelius, and he begins to hear from them what God has been doing. He begins to speak to them, open up the word to them, and while he's speaking, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Now up to this moment for Peter, he'd only understood, or really his mindset had only really allowed what Jesus had said to him to be for the Jews, not for the Gentiles, not for anybody outside the Jewish people. And so even though Jesus had said things, go to all the nations, and he'd already given the command, you know, go and make disciples of all nations and everything, even though they'd seen Jesus and heard him speak parables about people that weren't Jews, but also how he did meet some needs of people that weren't Jews and everything, he was still in this mindset of the Holy Spirit is for a certain group of people, and the Holy Spirit works in a certain way. And God had to speak to him, begin to shift that mentality. And even when he was in this environment, he was sharing the word, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and it began to change or shake or challenge his mentality of who the Holy Spirit was for, who God is going to work in and do things through. So these Gentiles, these non-Jewish people, were now getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and Peter's eyes were opened. Wow, the Holy Spirit is even being poured out on the Gentiles. And so he then obviously went back and reported to the guys in Jerusalem everything that God had done, and there was something new that was getting released at that moment. Whatever our revelation is, whatever our understanding is, determines our mentality, our paradigms, our thinking. And that will determine what we believe is possible, because your faith comes from revelation that the Holy Spirit gives from the Word. When the Holy Spirit speaks and something from the Word comes alive, you suddenly go, yes, that's it. The light goes on. Faith gets released. And it's like, yep, yeah, thank you, Jesus. And you begin to respond to that, act upon it, speak differently, act differently, pray differently, because the Holy Spirit has initiated something or highlighted something or given birth to something on the inside of you. And you're like, yes, it brings you into alignment with the mind and the will of God. God knew that he wanted to reach the Gentiles. Now, we know that he did that through the Apostle Paul as well. But God knew that he needed to give Peter a revelation. Hey, I'm just as much for the Gentiles as I am for the Jews. So this gospel isn't just for the Jewish people. It's to go to the ends of the earth. It's to go to people that are non-Jews. God is speaking to us at this time about multiplication, about advancement, about going forward. In Genesis chapter 1, when God creates everything and he creates man, in Genesis chapter 1, he speaks to him and he said, I want you to increase, or he commands him. He says, increase, be fruitful and multiply. So there's a command, if you like, that God gives right at the beginning that commands Adam to be. He says, be fruitful. So there's things God wants to do through his life. In Acts chapter 13, it talks about the word of God was spreading right throughout the region. And so there was something that the Holy Spirit was doing, something that was happening. The word of God was spreading right through the region. When you read in those chapters, there was increase, there was fruitfulness, and there was multiplication as a result of the word going out into the region. Now, God is speaking to us about being one church in many locations. In 92, when the church first started, God spoke that about this church. You're to be one church in many locations. And as we've talked about before, in different ways, that was kind of has happened in different ways, but never really continued to expand in that way. And God has spoken to us a year ago and said, get your act together and begin to move out into that. You need to get on with it. And so as a leadership, we've been responding to that, praying, talking, reorganizing things, and moving forward in relation to what God has been saying. One of the steps that God has spoken to us about here in a couple of weeks' time on the 12th of May is we're moving to two services on a Sunday in Worthing in October the 27th. We're looking for that to be the kind of launch, the live launch date for the third congregation, starting a new congregation in Worthing. There's a whole load of preparation we need to do between now and then. But God is speaking to us about moving out, the word needing to spread across the region. When God speaks about increase and fruitfulness and multiplication, then we need to respond to what he says. Now, we need to also respond in prayer then to what he is saying. If God is spirit and everything he does is by his spirit, then God releases his spirit to do what he is saying he wants to do. Now, he doesn't just do it in a general way. He does it in you and in me, and then he does it in us and through us as a people. So our response at this moment is really important to what God is saying to us. Maybe some of what God is saying is beyond where we are at this moment. But God always speaks and says things to us to move beyond where we are. The story of the 5,000, when Jesus fed the people, the 5,000 men and everybody else that was there, it was such an outrageous moment. The disciples, look, these guys are hungry. We need to send them away to get some food. We there's no way we can deal with this. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. That it was such an outrageous statement to make, such a ridiculous statement to make. 5,000 men plus the others, the women and children that were there. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. What a totally out of perspective, out of context, out of natural possible kind of possibility to take place. And then he said, so what food do you have? Now, when they came back, they didn't say, oh, we've got a massive McDonald's takeaway truck over there that can handle 5,000 or more people. They come back, we've got a couple of loaves and a few fish. And he says, that'll do. That's brilliant. And what does he do? He takes that and he blesses it. He thanks God, but he blesses it and then he breaks it. Why does he do that? Because it's going to be multiplied. He thanks God for it, but then he breaks it and says, okay, lads, now you start distributing it out to everybody. And it says everybody there was satisfied. And then they had 12 baskets left over. They had more than enough. I remember Pastor Colin saying years ago, I think Jesus just had a great sense of humor there, that there was one basket left for each one of the disciples. So they had one basket left, as if to say, look, you know, I can handle this, mate. Guys, so you can have one basket each at the end of it just to go home saying, wow, God is more than enough. And it was such a ridiculous moment. Feed 5,000 or more people with what you've got in your hands. And they were like, this is nuts. A few loaves and a few fish, this lot. But that's what God's saying to us. We're at that moment right now, where he's saying, I'm speaking to something that is so ridiculous for you to see happen in the natural, it's laughable. But yet what God says is, are you going to take what I'm saying by faith? Are you going to meet that by faith? Are you going to allow me to be the people that you're in my hands, that I bless you, speak to you, and I've been working in your lives. Now I want you to go and distribute everything that I'm placing into your lives out to other people's lives, whether in this town, other towns across the whole region. They only saw the miracle when they distributed the food. They didn't see the miracle and have loads and loads and loads of food before they actually started to distribute whatever they had in their hands to the people. They had to believe what Jesus was doing. They had to believe what he was putting into their hands. And they had to take that and say, right, okay, we're going to take this and we're going to begin to distribute it. And I'm sure what must have happened is the more they broke off, the more that must have been in their hands. And the more they went, the more was just multiplied. And they must have had bread just, I don't know how it worked. It must have been incredible. But if you'd had a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread, and that's all you went to the first person with, your tiny little crumb, and say, there you are, Jim, this is to feed you and your family, there's a couple of crumbs, and here's a tiny little bit of kind of, well, it's only a bit of fish bone, really, but anyway, imagine what happened as he began to Peter or even Thomas, the doubting one. He must have had an incredible day that day. You know, Peter may be out the more bombastic one. Oh, yeah, let's give this a go. Thomas might be, yeah, I really don't believe anything's going to happen here. This is really not going to work. And he's probably even speaking out unbelief as he was going. This ain't going to work, is it? This isn't going to work. Wow, this isn't working. Actually, this isn't working, but it is working. It shouldn't be working, but it is working. I've got 1,000 people here to feed. It shouldn't be working, but it is working. Oh, my word, this should not be working, but it is working. Now, we're only going to pray what we believe. We can only believe what God has spoken. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word. So God authors faith. God spoke to him in this scenario, and it was because of God speaking to him that he changed his actions. And he went and was obedient to what God was telling him to do. Without God speaking to him and showing him something, he would not have had a different way of thinking. He would not have acted in a different way. It's interesting that he heard God while he was praying. So he went off to have some time with God. He went onto the roof. A bit of time. It was when he was praying. Now, he wasn't looking for God to tell him something like that. He just went to spend some time praying. While he was praying, God spoke and began to change his paradigm, began to speak to him and challenge his way of thinking. See, one of us, a man or a woman, can speak and can challenge sometimes our paradigms. But you know when God speaks to you, the Holy Spirit or witnesses to you through somebody else maybe sometimes, but you know when God speaks to you and says things to you, it's like, wow, you become convinced of something in a way that you're not if somebody else has just told you. And so God convinces him, speaks to him, and he acts differently than he had been. Now, just want a couple more scriptures before we do an give an example. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. Some of you will know these verses really well. What I love about prayer is that we don't have to make up the words. We don't actually have to try to think up what we're supposed to pray to have effective answered prayer. So in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's a pretty awesome start. That we can have confidence in prayer, approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, so if we ask anything according to what he wants, then it says here, he hears us, first of all. I think the biggest issue a lot of Christians have in prayer is we pray so many words because we don't think God's hearing us or he's listening or we're praying the right thing. If I pray more words, then that's going to get God to do more or to get it, convince him that I believe what I'm praying. And actually, the Bible says here, if we pray what his will is, then we know that he hears us. Why? Because what we're praying has actually come from him in the first place. Therefore, if it's come from him and then we pray it, there's going to be a release from him or of him. I can't remember, it was a meeting recently. Pastor Colin was speaking. I don't know if it might be in the first week of term, the other week, and drew something on a board and said, most Christians, they pray to God and ask God, they kind of pray that way, as if God's going to then do it in the situation. Like we're telling God what to do. God, would you do this? God, do the other. God, do this. God, do that. La, 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 la. And we're kind of telling God to do something. And then, okay, God, we're telling you to do that. And actually, prayer's the other way around. God speaks to us what he wants to do. And then we pray that, we speak that, we declare that. And then the things of God are released through the people, through the body of Christ, for those things to take place. God's still the one that does, is still the one that does it. But he speaks to us. Now, if you know you've heard God, you're convinced, aren't you? But that's it, God's spoken. That's it, wow. And so you speak it, you pray it. You know when you've heard God, you seem to pray less words because your faith is not in your words. Your faith is now in what he has said. Therefore, your faith is, wow, God has said it, so I'm going to speak it, believe it, and act upon it. God might say 3 words, 5 words, 1 sentence, might give you a verse from the Bible. But when God speaks, it cuts all the other possiblys, maybes, should I, the pros and cons out of the situation, because he's spoken, and that, well, that's it. He said it. That's what. So prayer, when we pray that way, is not us trying to convince God. Because God has spoken to convince us as to what he wants. And we go, that's it. That's what God wants. So let's pray that. Let's agree together because God has said it. You will get a lot more agreement when, well, that's what God wants. Then, well, what do you think? Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I can believe that. But, you know, when God speaks, it's like, yeah, come on. So there's that agreement. Then, because we know he hears us, because it's him that's authored what we're praying. It says in 15 here, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know then that we have what we asked of him. You know, prayer that is prayed in faith has a lot of thanksgiving with it. Because if God has spoken and you're like, that's it, this is what God wants to do in this situation, and you receive that, it's like you receive the answer because he's spoken. So you're not in one sense trying to pray for the answer. What you're doing is releasing the answer because God has spoken. And so therefore we're then releasing the answer and we're that kind of conduit, if you like, for the Holy Spirit to pray through. I love these verses in Romans chapter 8 where it says in verse 26 and 27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. That is brilliant. Because sometimes when we come to pray, we think, well, I'll just pray whatever I think or whatever I want. And actually, when we pray, it's like, I don't know what to pray. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to pray? But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Wow. So there's something that the Holy Spirit prays through us. So it goes beyond our natural words and certainly our natural minds and understanding. So the Holy Spirit gives revelation, speaks to us. We then pray in the Spirit. You know, praying in the Spirit isn't just praying in tongues. Praying in the Spirit can be praying with words. Okay? Because if you're in the Spirit in prayer, then you're hearing what God is saying and then you're speaking or releasing or declaring what he's saying as well. Verse 27, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Okay, so the Holy Spirit prays for us, in us, and through us. Now, just want to get a few of you up just to help me with this for a few minutes. One of the words that God has spoken over us as Kingdom Faith is that we're like an arrow. And Pastor Collins had a number of words over the years about being the tip of the arrow. And, you know, the tip is the pointy bit at the front. There's the arrowhead, there's the shaft, and then the feathers and whatever they're officially called at the end of the arrow. And part of that call upon Kingdom Faith, it being right at the kind of sharp end, is to break through. Now, in order to break through, then you need to keep yourself sharp. You know what it's like? Anything that's blunt, it takes a lot more effort to break something open, whatever it is, or cut something or break through, if it's blunt. So if God is spirit and everything he does is by his spirit, then for us, it's absolutely essential that spiritually we stay sharp. And right on the pointy end of things, in our own life, but also together as a body of people. And so what we just want to do is just give an illustration. In Exodus, you know, Moses' father-in-law turns up one day and he watches how Moses has been doing things. And he sees that Moses is dealing with all the issues of the people. And he says, look, that's not a good thing to do. Why don't you do it a different way? And so he says, why don't you appoint tens, fifties, people over tens, fifties, hundreds and thousands? But he gives him a kind of list, if you like, of how he needs to operate as a leader, but also what the people do in there as well. We haven't got time to look at all of that this morning. But the first thing that Jethro says to Moses in there is, you need to be the people's representative before God. That's your primary thing, Moses. You got to be the intercessor between God and the people. That's your primary thing. You spend so much time doing this way, you don't have enough time going that way. So you need to spend most of your time. Then it says in there, you need to basically, if modern day language, preach the word, teach them the word. Then it says you need to show them by example how to live. And then it gives various other kind of instructions for how the people are to respond to that. So I just want to, if I could have Gary up here, is that right, mate? And first of all, he just gives Emma this, mate. This is our really light lectern. We'll just go this way, Gary, all right, mate? All right, thanks, mate. Okay, can you just, Gary is going to represent the leader in a situation. Stand right in the front there. Thanks, mate. And just, if I could have two or three other people, John, Joe, Helena, do you guys want to come up and just stand behind Gary? Yeah, in a line, just so that you're like a line behind him. This isn't about the leader. This is just about the dynamic of prayer in the life of the church. Just step a bit closer to Gary. If I could have another five, six guys, all of you guys on the front row there, all six of you, that'd be brilliant. If you can come and kind of stand behind these guys. Brilliant. And then if I could have all of you, all the first three rows of the side over there, all of you guys up, that'd be brilliant. The rest of you can come up in a minute and we'll all be up here in a minute, all right? If you can stand behind all of these guys, that'd be great. You can see how happy everybody looks this morning. And you look out and... Now, in any church, in any setting, we've got to remember, God is spirit, yeah? The church, first and foremost, is spiritual. The church is not an organization. The church is not a business. The church is not a company. The church is a people of the spirit. It's the body of Christ on earth. Yes, it needs organization. Yes, it needs structures. Yes, it needs stuff like that, okay? Must do. But primarily, we are a people of the Spirit. Therefore, everything we do primarily needs to be initiated by the Spirit and needs to have the Holy Spirit in it and through it. Great organization on its own won't produce long-lasting fruit. Individuals with different skills and giftings can produce fruit, but it doesn't produce eternal fruit. In terms of, something's got to be by the Holy Spirit. Now, in any situation, you're always going to have the leader. You're going to have leadership and you might have more leaders, but you have the whole body of people that are part of the thing. Now, what Moses had been doing on one level, he'd been kind of doing everything, going before God, making the decisions, talking to all the people, all of that kind of thing. And Jethro said, look, mate, there's a better way of doing this. There's a better way of moving forward. And we see this in Corinthians where Paul talks about the body of Christ. We're all different members. There are different giftings, different ministries of the Spirit and different ways the Holy Spirit works in the body. But first of all, if this guy is the leader, This is a guy that needs to hear from God. This is what God is saying. This is our vision. This is our direction. Now, God's going to give that to this person. God's not going to tell everybody this is the vision, direction that we're going in, and everybody chips in and tells him what he should be doing. God will always speak to the pointy end of the thing. Amen. And speak to somebody to give it the direction, okay? Now, if you've got elders and other leaders with you, you submit and talk. That's what we do here. And I get stuff from God, and then I talk with the elders, submit and talk through stuff with them. And I don't just go to an elders meeting and say to them, right, lads, we're doing this, whether you like it or not. And we sit, myself, Paul Taylor and Jonathan Croft, I share things with them, we pray together, and that might get a bit refined, or we talk through stuff. But basically, I'm bringing vision and direction, and they're kind of with me, praying through that, so that we're like, okay, so we need to move that through, work that through then. Okay, so I'm not just telling them, well, this is what we're doing, whether you like it or not. And so there's this kind of working together, but God's going to speak to this guy. But now, if the momentum of everything going on was just down to this person, and this guy kind of prayed and was breaking through and all of that, it would impact everybody else. But what would it be like if this guy was standing in that place in God that God had called him to be, because everybody in the room is called to operate, function, move as a member of the body, and you represent something of the kingdom of God on earth as part of this church, and so therefore you represent something of momentum, of life, of the release of God. And so if then these guys also, with what God has called them to do and the part he's called them to play, are not just standing with him saying, well, we're just going to do this so that you have a great time with God and we'll encourage you a bit more so that we don't have to do the prayer or anything else. No, yes, we're going to do that, right? But also these guys represent something in God as part of what God has called this church to be and to do. So therefore, whatever, say that the kind of leadership team or whatever, they carry something in God in prayer. So therefore, they need to be spiritually alive and sharp in terms of who they are as people. And then when these guys meet together, there's something weighty that happens when they pray together in light of what God is saying and agree together and speak things over the body, pray for the town, the region, the nation, whatever. But then if you add to that, maybe the next wider level of leaders or people in the church, they're not here just to say, well, we'll hold your arms up then so that you can be a better prayer so that I don't have to do that. But, you know, yes, they're going to encourage and do that. But if all these guys, whether they're whatever area of church they're leading, whether it's an area of people, a life group leader or children's or youth, or it's an area of ministry out in the community or an outreach or something that happens in the building, whatever, if these guys are also spiritually alive and alert and realize, actually, what I'm doing is spiritual. Yes, there are very practical things that go on around what I'm doing. It needs to be organized, needs to be planned. I need to communicate. Things need to be ordered. But actually, what I understand is God is spirit. The church is a spiritual people. And what God wants to do in somebody's life, first and foremost, is spiritual. Therefore, spiritually, I want to be in that right kind of place. I want that right spiritual temperature going on in my life so that there's a release of God in what I'm leading, but also together in agreement with the leader, with the leaders, together as a wider leadership, we are moving together in the things of God. So gradually what's going on now, there's a greater weight and momentum of what God is doing now, because there's not just one guy at the pointy end going sort of breaking through and breaking through, but there's also other guys breaking through with him. And if you look at that kind of shape, I know it's not so easy. If we had more people, you would see there's a point and then it goes out that way. So the next row of people, or a lot of other people in the life of the church, now, what they represent is no less than what this person represents, or these people represent, or anybody else represents. Yeah. There's a particular role and function, if you like, within leadership that, as you grow in leadership, it represents. So this person, there's a certain responsibility that they have before God to be praying and listening and moving in God because of what that represents, the mantle that is upon their life at this moment. This represents something, but the whole body represents something. That's Now imagine that momentum with the whole kind of arrowhead full of life, charged with faith and with the Spirit of God and with what God is saying and doing and saying, right, God is telling us to speak things that are not as though they were. He's speaking to us of things that are so ridiculous in terms of the scale of things, because from where we are to where we're going, it's out of kilter. It's like a few fish and a few loaves compared to 10, 15,000 people all over our region. It's nuts. But actually, 15,000 people is less than the quarter of the population of Horsham. There's a guy in the States who I heard the other day say that, well, and I didn't hear him, somebody who knows this guy. This guy has got nearly 40,000, or near, no, no, this guy's got 53,000 people in his church in the States. They've got multiple congregations. And some people in his church started saying, wow, the church is getting really big, isn't it? And he said something to his church. He said, I do not want us to call ourselves a big church. As soon as we start saying we're a big church, we're a big church, we're going to open the door to pride. Yeah. He said, 53,000 people is not a big church. When he said that's not even 5% of the population of the city that we're in. He said it's not even 1% of the region, the state that we live in. It's not even a 0.1% of something, you know. And it was like him saying, in Christian world, we say, wow, 1,000 people in a church or 2,000 people, that's a mega church. Officially, 2,000 or more is a mega church. And we're like, whoa. But yet, God's saying, what you've got in your hands, what you've got in your lives is enough to feed beyond what is possible in the natural. But you see the multiplication as you distribute what is in your lives. And so in terms of people being a people of the Spirit, God has talked to us about people being a people of prayer. In order to see the spiritual results that we need to see, which is basically, somebody gets saved, it's something spiritual that happens. Somebody gets healed, it has natural consequences, but it's something that the Holy Spirit does. Whatever happens in our lives, first and foremost, if it comes from God, is by His Spirit. Therefore, to see people set free, it must be by His Spirit. To see people, I don't know, whatever needs to happen in their lives. So whatever we're leading, whatever we represent, whoever we are in the life of the church, you represent something of God in the Spirit as part of the body. So it's not that, well, they're more important than me because they have a greater role than me. No, we're all part of this arrowhead that has got to be sharp, that's got to have the right weight to it so that it moves forward, so that no matter what God is wanting, however God wants to fire us, because at the end of the day, we're in God's bow. And God is saying, okay, Kingdom Faith, make sure you're sharp, make sure the shaft is straight, your lives are in order, make sure that the nice pretty bits at the end are all nicely done, because I'm firing you out beyond where you've been. I'm firing you into something that is way beyond what you can accomplish and achieve in your own efforts. It's going to take faith. It's going to take some guts. You're going to have to get a hold of me. You're going to have to give yourselves in your lives. But if you understand what I'm doing, then you're going to be willing in this day of power. So imagine an arrowhead and all the people just whatever, we're not talking about rows here, but together we say, come on, this is what God has said, we're going to pray this. And then everybody at the same time is like, whoa, this is what God has said. Yeah, this is what we're speaking. Look, this is what we're decreeing. This Holy Spirit wants to pray for that part of the community or that town. And we're like, whoa, in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then prays with groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit's allowed to pray through us to accomplish what God wants to do in that situation. Why? It has to be something of the Spirit. There's no way we can accomplish this by good ideas, good planning, you know, let's ramp the worship team up more, get them to play better, that will do it. No, it doesn't do it. You could have a guy with a one-string guitar that's anointed and the Holy Spirit will turn up. It's not how much stuff you've got that determines, or how loud or quiet is that determines whether God's there or not. It's what's happening in the people. We can have the greatest outreaches in the world, but it's what's happening in us as the people. God, it's not an event that makes God move. God works through people. It's what's going on in our lives that sees the increase of what God is doing. So yes, we're all going to hold each other's arms up all the way through and champion one another. But this really, if we squashed everybody up together, it wouldn't be like just rows of people. It'd be like one people together in agreement, in alignment. We're a people of prayer. We're hearing what God is saying. We're speaking that. We're decreeing that. We know He's hearing us because it's come from Him. And because we're speaking that, we know that we have what we're asking of Him. So we're praying into this area, into that situation, into that community, into that town, because that's what He said. So we're advancing together, knowing, wow, this is going to be an exciting ride, because we don't know how it's going to work out, what it's going to look like. But we do know, according to that parable, everybody was satisfied and fed. And through a people of faith, God's going to say, hey, everybody's going to be well fed and satisfied. Nobody's going to go away lacking or missing out. Thanks, guys. Let's thank these guys for being up here, shall we? So let's stand together. Let's stand. Thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, we haven't spoken a lot about two services and all of that other stuff, going to other locations this morning. We focus more on the prayer side of things, because I believe really that God's saying, look, we can speak about these things, but some of you might be challenged and you know, well, God, I'm not there yet with this two service stuff and other locations. Yeah, exciting is part of the vision and all of that. But have you received what you're living with as a church? What you're living with inside of you? Are you living with one church in many locations? Are you living with what God has said? Are you living with 5,000 people or households, as God said? 5,000 men and their households. The amount of households that God wants to save across the region in these coming years. I mean, in the natural, it's ridiculous. But yet when God speaks, the ridiculous becomes not just possible, but it becomes reality. And the first place it has to become reality is in your spirit, that you receive what God has said, so that it's like, that's what I'm living with. That's it. That's what I'm living with. I know that's what I'm living with. And so when I'm praying, I'm thanking the Lord. I'm speaking over this 25-mile radius, but I'm thanking the Lord for the thousands of households across this region. And I'm sure when God speaks about the size of what He's doing, it's not just our own church. He's going to add people to all kinds of churches around the 25-mile radius. But what are you living with on the inside? What do you release when you're praying? What are you living with about Horsham? What are you living with about your community, your street, yeah, where you are? What are you living with on the inside of you? Because we only live with what God has said. Because we can come up with some good ideas, but it will just fall to the ground if it's a good idea. And I wouldn't say things up here if I don't believe we'd heard from God. Otherwise, it just sounds like a right load of hot air. And we don't want to just live with hot air. We want to live in the reality of what God has said. And so coming into this new season, the scale of what God wants to do, He wants to move from hundreds to thousands. And therefore, spiritually, we need to operate as a church of thousands, not just hundreds. So what we do in prayer needs to be at a church of thousands in terms of that's where we're going. I don't just mean here, I mean Crawley and Worthing and everywhere else we're going to go. That we don't just think in a different, because first of all, it had to happen in Peter's thinking. Wow, hang on a minute, it's for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. But he acted before he saw the Holy Spirit come upon them. He had to go to them, then the Holy Spirit came upon them. And he's like, wow, it's happening. And we're at that moment now where God is speaking and He's saying things that are challenging some of our paradigms and the way we've done things and our expectation of what might happen here in the next few months and everything. He's speaking to change our paradigms, to line our thinking and our hearts and our faith up with Him. so that we act in a different way. So we're acting in one sense in responding to what God is saying, moving to two services, creating more space to grow more leaders, teams of people, and all of that. And but as we act in response to what God says, then we see Him do it. Now God is doing stuff already, so we're not just acting out of a vacuum. We're acting out and responding from what He is saying. But I believe there's maybe a challenge from God as well for us as a church that we've got to step up in prayer. Corporately together in the VIPs, but also in all the respective areas that some of you I know are leading, whether it's a life group, an area of ministry, an outreach that takes place, whatever it is. Because what is going on spiritually in all these areas will determine the fruit. It's what happens spiritually that determines the fruit. We got to act, share the gospel, speak the gospel, preach the gospel, pray for the sick, all of those things. But it's the prayer that unlocks the fruit and what's going to actually happen. When you pray, God speaks. Faith increases to see Him do what He wants to do. So when you're praying, if you're just leading something and you just have a quick 5-minute prayer, well, God, we just give you this time. We ask you to bless it and thank you, Jesus, you know, la, 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 la. You're not going to see a lot happen. Your natural flesh doesn't want to give yourself to prayer. Your spirit is like, come on, because your spirit knows what can happen. I'm not saying you have to pray for an hour. Oh, God, I just got to pray longer then. No, we've got to pray what God wants. And when you've heard God, faith kicks off and you're like, that's it. So therefore, suddenly, oh, we better pray before we start. You know, if you're going to lead something, you've got to make time to pray for what you're leading. It's not 5 minutes before it starts. You've got to make space in anything in life. You want your family to prosper, make space to pray for them. Don't just do a couple of shundays in the morning and ask God to bless the day. If you want to have a good marriage, great, healthy kids, take some time, pray for them. It's whether you're leading a life group, whatever it is, whatever we're praying into. So it's a challenge for us, but to step up to see the fruit, then we've got to make space. Okay, God, we're making space now. It might be half an hour, but that might be 25 minutes more than you normally do. We're actually, I've got time now to really hear from God, hear what He's saying, line up my heart and my faith with what He's saying, and right now I'm going to begin to pray into that, speak into that, declare into that, agree with God, pray in the Spirit into that, you know, and begin to see a greater release of God in that situation. Because you go through all the different depths of the life of the church, and that's where we understand it. It doesn't just happen at the front end in terms of what's produced. It happens through the whole body together, moving as one body. You know, if everybody, I mean, we didn't have space, but imagine if I got everybody to kind of more do this and move together as a body. It'd be like, yeah, we're moving together in the Spirit, in faith, in agreement, breaking through right at the pointy end of things. Man, it's like, yeah, come on. So I know I'm racking on a bit now. So let's just pray for a few minutes, and then we just need to do some practical stuff at the end. Just thank Him for what He's doing in you this morning. He's encouraging us, inspiring us, but also there's a change in some of the paradigms as well. Faith doesn't say, well, I'll wait and see. Faith sees it and says, right, I'm going to move towards that. And God's, we are a people of faith. It's not just one or two people, but we are a people of faith moving together. So, Father, I thank You. If you know you need a paradigm change, if you feel like, well, I haven't quite got this stuff yet and where we're going as a church, then like Peter, it's like, God, do that paradigm change, do that paradigm shift. If you know you're not quite there yet, if you haven't received that in your spirit, one church, many locations, multiplying, increase, fruitfulness. Well, God, I haven't seen it in the way Pastor Clive and others are speaking about it. So, because we haven't seen it yet, well, is it really going to happen? Well, that's where you need to submit your natural mind and your experience to God and say, God, I submit all of that. And I thank You that You speak to me, You witness with me as well then. So that faith rises in me. So I'm in agreement with my leaders. I'm in agreement with the body. This is what God is saying. This is what You've said. This is what I'm part of. This is what I'm believing. This is what I'm praying. This is what I'm moving towards. as one body. If you know you've struggled in that way, just submit that to the Lord and ask Him, God, I thank You that You ignite faith in me. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. So that your thinking lines up, your words line up, your prayer lines up, your actions line up. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Just thank the Lord that He's spoken things to us that are so beyond the natural. They're so out of kilter with what we could try and see in our own efforts. Father, I thank You that You're speaking things about these coming years that are ridiculous in the natural, but yet You're saying, as a people of faith, take hold of what I'm saying, grab what I'm saying, begin to move upon what I'm saying. So Father, I thank You for the lives that are being changed, are being transformed, are being turned around, both here and in Crawley. People giving their lives to You. Healings, miracles, provision, families being restored, things happening. Father, we thank You. But You're speaking over all of that and saying increase, fruitfulness, multiplication. You're singing over us as a fruitful vine. That's how You see us. That's the one of the words You gave us. You're a fruitful vine, and I'm singing over this fruitful vine. I'm speaking over this fruitful vine. So, Father, I thank You and I praise Your name. I thank You as we respond to You in our own personal lives and together as a body. We see the things that You've said take place. So, Father, we thank You and we praise Your awesome name. We got a VIP on Wednesday night, Victory in Prayer. That's a time to be together, to be that pointy arrow, that sharp end to break through in prayer. We're not going to have to make up stuff. The Holy Spirit speaks. This is what I want you to pray. This is how I want you to pray. This is the word I want you to pray. This is what you to decree and release. So when you come to a meeting like that, it is more what God wants to do rather than us trying to pray to God to get Him to do something. No, God's willing to do far more than we ask or imagine. And so when we come to pray, it's to line up with that, with Him, with that scale of things. So Father, I thank You for a fresh release as we begin to pray on Wednesday, that fresh release of the Spirit of prayer. Father, I thank You for a fresh increase of anointing to pray. Father, I just pray for anybody who's leading a life group, an area of ministry or outreach or an area of the life of the church. Father, I thank You as they just set some time aside and go into their room on their own and pray, or us together as a small group of people to pray. It's not our many words that You hear, but Father, I thank You that as we hear from You, agree together, we pray what You say. There's a greater release of Your life and of Your Holy Spirit in situations. So I thank You, Father. I praise Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.